The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Welcome to the Lord's house on this last Sunday of the church year as we await the triumphant return of Christ our King. I apologize for the shortage of bulletins. The copy is supposed to get repaired tomorrow. A huge thank you to all of you who did so much to prepare for the funeral and luncheon for Mel. I heard many expressions of gratitude and compliments on this congregation yet again, and made me again proud to be the pastor of this congregation. Thank you. Thanksgiving Eve worship is Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. It's a community service. It's a great time to invite family and friends and introduce them to the Christ our Savior family. You may also bring along non-perishables for the food banks if you wish. Today's the last day to order poinsettias. That sign up is back in the narthex. We do sing at the Care Center after Bible study today. If you can join us, please do. And I have the joy of getting to announce the birth of Joel Thomas, my grandson. Hannah and Eric's son was born on Friday evening. We include them in our prayers today. Are there other announcements or other prayers that we should include today? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as with his word and his supper he prepares us to wait patiently in faith for the return of Christ the King. The Divine Service, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And I forgave the iniquity of my
You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve an eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. In this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Power of Jesus.
The Kyrie, page 186. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed? Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape? Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
You have put all things under
The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 1. He was delivered from us, or delivered us from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And they came to the place that is called the Skull. There they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds? But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Hymn number 532. Thank you.
souls' welfare everlasting.
Word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is from Luke chapter 23, today's gospel, where Jesus is crowned as king with thorns. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our soon to arrive Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's criminal number one. He agrees with the Jewish establishment and the Roman soldiers. He thinks if Jesus were really a king, Jesus would prove it right there and then. If you're the king, save yourself and us. But he doesn't really believe Jesus is the messianic king. Criminal number two, on the other hand, rebukes him. Criminal number two believes that we should receive the just rewards of our deeds on this earth. And despite all appearances to the contrary, he actually believes that that guy, that criminal dying beside him, is the messianic king. And he prays, Lord, remember me when, not if, when you come into your kingdom. So my question is, which of these two criminals do you relate to? Criminal number one, who wants Jesus to rescue him right now. Criminal number two, who's patient and who's willing to wait for God's kingdom to come. I read about a research study that was done years ago with children. I think they were four-year-old children. And the researcher walked into the room. He handed each of the children a piece of candy. And he said, now I'm going to leave the room and I'm going to come back in 15 minutes. You may eat the piece of candy anytime you want. But if you save that piece of candy until I come back, I'll give you a second piece of candy. If you eat the piece of candy before I come back, you won't get a second piece of candy. He made sure they all understood the consequences, and he left, just as he said. And the researchers watched through one-way glass, and they watched some of the children immediately put the candy into their mouths. They were going to get immediate gratification, and it was interesting later, they made all sorts of excuses for their behavior. Then there were some who believed the researcher's promise, sort of like criminal number two believed the Lord's promise. And they put the piece of candy in their pocket for safekeeping and went back to what they were doing, knowing that they were going to get their second piece of candy. But the vast majority of children neither ate their piece of candy nor put it in their pocket. The vast majority of them held that piece of candy in their hand. And for 15 minutes, fretted. Am I going to eat it? Because I really want that sweet. Or am I going to keep it? Well, some of them made each choice. And when the researcher came back into the room, he gave each of the children, as promised, a second piece of candy, if they still had their original one. Now, here's part of the interesting thing to me. The researchers followed those children over the years for the next 30 years of their lives, and they found a correlation between the decisions that they made all the way back there as four-year-olds and the decisions they made later in life. Those who ate the candy immediately tended to be people who were impulse buyers, who didn't have much savings and who had a lot of debt. They didn't enjoy their jobs, but they weren't willing to make the sacrifices necessary to work for a better job. The kids who pocketed their candy, they had enjoyed life. They had jobs that they enjoyed. They had money in the bank. They didn't have a lot of debt. And interestingly, they were happy in life even during the lean years when they were barely making do so that they would have more later in life. You're making some connections here. And are you asking, well, what about the vast majority of the kids who who neither pocketed the candy nor ate it? Yeah, well, later in life, they continued to waver between instant gratification and a willingness to wait for long-term rewards. There were times when they toughed it out, when they persevered through some difficult times, and there were times when they got frustrated, gave up, and settled for a whole lot less than they could have had. When Christ the King returns, he's going to give to us a whole lot more than a second piece of candy, or rather, to all who patiently wait in faith for his return. What's he going to give us? The crown of life. He's going to clothe us with bodies that can no longer be tainted by sin. Bodies that will not have sorrow, crying, pain, disease, difficulties, dread, or death. It will be that life that we heard about last Sunday that can't be described with any words that are currently in human languages, can't be painted with any palette that is currently available to artists. And some of us Christians wait patiently for that day. You know those Christians are kind of like Job. They may lose just about everything in life, but they say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My King is still reigning, and I know that my Redeemer lives. So in the end, I'm going to have all eternity to enjoy the good things of life. I don't have to get worked up about making sure that I get them now. And then there are some that are like criminal number one. We want Jesus to make us happy right now. Take away our troubles, Lord. Take me straight to heaven. I'm not enjoying this life. My body doesn't work the way it used to work. There's too many difficulties. This was me last night. It was just too little time, too much work, everything going wrong. I was frustrated. Said, Lord, return. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with saying, Jesus, come again. But you notice I wasn't saying it in faith. I was saying it in frustration. There's a big difference. I'm suspecting that you're like me, that you waver between criminal number one and criminal number two, that there are times you want instant gratification because there's a sinner inside of you, and that there are times that because you are also saint, you're ready to wait patiently for the coming of your Lord. Times that you are content and times that you complain. Yep. We're like criminal one and criminal two. By the way, scholars, at least some of them, think that these criminals may have been zealots. The zealots were a particular political party or a movement, you might say, in the first century, kind of like the Palestinian Liberation Army of their day, only they were Jews. But they were seeking to use violence or any other means to drive those Romans out of their land. They're the ones who provoked the Romans to attack in 70 AD and ransack Jerusalem and destroy the temple. So you can understand that if these criminals were zealots, why criminal number one did not believe that Jesus could possibly be king. If he was the king, if he was really the Messiah from God, then he would be fighting against the Jewish establishment that kowtowed to those Romans, and he would especially be fighting against the Romans. If you're the king, save yourself and us. He wants to eat his candy now. He wants Jesus to fix everything immediately, and he doesn't want any earthly consequences for his behavior. If criminal number two starts as a zealot, at some point along the way, he realizes that long-term redemption from sin and joy in heaven is a whole lot more valuable than short-term deliverance from Romans. Maybe he even comes to realize that Jesus is the king who is doing exactly what criminal number one demanded that he do. save yourself and us. Only Jesus was not saving us from Roman intrusion. He was saving us from far more deadly enemies, our own misdirected desires, Satan's accusations, and an eternity in hell. Some people might say, Pastor, you're being a little hard on criminal number one. After all, he was crying out to the Lord for help. Save us. And Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the way, I should note, that comes from Joel. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what faith does, calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. But criminal number one is not crying out in faith. He is crying out in unbelief. He is trying to find an easy way out of his predicament, trying to not have to suffer the consequences, not trying to trust the Lord. He's doing what we sometimes do, what I was doing last night, begging God to fix things, not out of faith, but out of frustration. That's the difference between criminal one and two. They both want Jesus to save, but one is crying out of frustration, and he wants it now, and the other is willing to wait. He cries out of faith. So in criminal number two, he comprehends what we need to comprehend. That in the midst of our greatest crises, when it seems like God is the farthest away from us, our God is our King, is right beside us, but we just don't always recognize it. Most people did not recognize that that was the King of all kings hanging on that cross, dying. That it was appropriate that he be crowned, even if it was with thorns. He doesn't always rescue us from our earthly troubles, at least not immediately. But he rescues us from eternal death, and he promises to escort us through this valley of sorrows, through this great tribulation, to that place where our earthly troubles will all be gone, if we'll just wait patiently with faith. Dear Christians, do you realize you already have the first piece of candy? Your Lord has already handed you the down payment on what is to come. He has given to you the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church. He has given to you baptismal adoption. He has given to you the bread that is eternal. He has given to you the promise that when the King was hanging on that cross, he was dying for you, and that King is coming again for you. When Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was not only praying for the Roman soldiers and the Jewish authorities, he was praying for you and for me. And Paul was talking about us in today's epistle when he said that the Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul was saying something about us too when he said that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. If Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, then there must be a secondborn, and maybe a third and a fourth and a fifth born from the dead too. Indeed, all who have been adopted into God's family will receive the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come. So we wait patiently in faith. Resist that temptation to want all your problems in life solved now. Don't be like God's people back in Malachi's time, first reading, who said, oh, it's vain to serve God, to do what he asks, because the evil prosper, Christians suffer. But God says, be patient. I have a book of remembrance written before me. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my treasured possession, in other words, in the day that Christ the King returns. And then, once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. Remember that your Lord was patient. He did not abandon his mission whenever the going got difficult. He did not come down from the cross and save himself, even though he was the King. He stayed up on the cross, and he saved you. So instead of expecting your King to save you from trials, expect him to use those trials to build up your faith. Yep, go ahead and say, Lord, relieve my suffering and take me home. But if your Lord does not answer that prayer in the positive, don't give up fighting or living, and especially don't give up on your God. Realize that your God is using that to increase your faith and maybe to give you opportunity to show that patient faith to others so that they begin to ask, what is it that motivates you? And you can tell them about the King who has come to save them and us, the King who is coming to set everything back the way it is supposed to be, to make everything right in this world, the King who is going to give to us the joy of in his everlasting presence. So we wait with patient faith. Yep, you can eat your candy now. You can demand, Lord, if you're the King, save us immediately, like criminal number one. Or you can be like criminal number two. You could admit we're suffering justly. It is the due reward of the due result of our deeds. And you can say, but Lord, I believe that you are Christ the King, who created us, who redeemed us, and who at the right time is coming for us. So Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he says, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Offertory, page 192. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
We stand for the prayer of the church. As we wait with patient faith for the return of Christ the King, let us pray for this family of Christ and for all people. That the Holy Spirit grant to Audrey, to Sarah, and to all of us baptized people a patient faith that resists temptation trusts that our King was reigning even when he was dying, and be kept from straying until his return. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let our Lord sustain us with the King's body and blood so that we do not expect immediate solutions to our earthly troubles, so that we're willing to grow in Christian discipleship, so that we speak boldly about our King to all who will listen. Let us pray to the Lord. For the Christ our Savior family, for St. Mark, Messiah, and St. Peter congregations, that God grant faithful lay and pastoral servants to lead, that he direct us to decisions that further his kingdom, especially regarding construction in a school of music. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Holy Spirit set free those who are held captive by guilt or shame, that he lead all people to repentance, that he bring the unbelieving to faith and the straying back to his church, and they prompt each of us constantly to pray, Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that our King bless all of us as we learn and teach his word, that he keep us from error and selfish use of his gifts, and that he correct those who believe or teach falsely. Let us pray to the Lord. That our King preserve us from temptation, that he not lead us into unbelief or despair, that he hinder us from desiring deliverance immediately, and that he assure us that we will be with him in paradise, so that we live for him now. Let us pray to the Lord. That our Lord preserve this nation in peace, that he give wisdom and selflessness to our civil leaders, that he preserve unborn children, us, and our society from the evils of abortion and euthanasia and assisted suicide. That he watch over those in our armed forces, and that he lead us to be good, active, and godly citizens for the good of our neighbors. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our Father heal the sick, comfort the mourning, and grant faith to the dying. Especially that he give his resurrection promises to Gloria and to all of Mel's family, and that he grant faith and peace, and that he grant faith and peace and help to Ed, Charlie, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Sue, Holly, Joshua, Hope, the Martinez family, Clem, Nina, Roger, Oris, Beth, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, and Sherry. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our Father receive our thanksgiving for the works, the faith, and the witness of Wally and Charles and Mel. That he accept our thanksgiving for his goodness in our life and for the birth of Joel. And that he keep us focused on the return of Christ the King. Let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our King and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy,
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The Lamb of God.
Hymn number 610 is the first hymn. Thank you.
loving servant be, and taste your promised rest. Lord Jesus, think on me.
Number 456. Hymn 634, stanzas 1 through 4. 634, stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you, God.
435. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hymn 525, stanzas 1 and 4.